ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयो श्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः। ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम्। शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः। ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेते मूर्तिभेदविभागिने व्योमवद्व्याप्तदेहाय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः। भज गोविन्दम् भज गोविन्दम् गोविन्दम् भज मूढमते सम्प्राप्ते सन्निहिते काले नहि नहि रक्षति डुक्रुं करणे। नौ हौ टु गेट् औट् आफ् दिस् संसार सागर। वी हेव् डिस्कस्ड् अबौट् ओल्ड् एज्, how to prepare, how to really make old age fruitful, meaningful, joyous. For that purpose, I have gone ahead and had chosen some of the shlokas, and the last one was 15th shloka, angangalitam palitam mundam, etc. Now I am coming back. So the whole existence that we are going through in this world, that is called samsara. And we have to get out. And actually we are all trying to get out, consciously or unconsciously. Even the people who seem to be extraordinarily worldly people, attached to what Sri Ramakrishna calls sex and money, even they are also only seeking their own true self, but in a mistaken way, thinking they are outside, and anything that is outside, which can give the greatest joy, greatest pleasure, and that they think is the most desirable thing in this world. But in course of time, this avidya maya, which at once directs a person's mind to the lower things from a spiritual point of view, higher things from a worldly point of view, because this mahamaya is the Divine Mother. She is the Universal Mother. We are all her children. She is not going to tempt her children, but just as a mother gives a small sweet for a pestering child, only to teach the child there are better things than what you desired. But just as the baby has to grow, children have to grow, we also have to grow. So now, in this Bhajagovindam Stotram, shloka number 8, what is the pathway? This is called Atma Vichara, self-inquiry. Now, many people have a mistaken notion. Self-inquiry is the most important thing related to Jnana Marga, but that is a terribly mistaken view. Whatever path we are adopting, Bhakti Yoga, Karma Yoga, Raja Yoga and Jnana Yoga, the ultimate result is only Atma Vichara, self-inquiry. Only terminology is different, language is different, as Ramakrishna so beautifully illustrates, four types of people speaking four different languages, unable to understand each other's language, only they know, each one know their own language, and go to a tank and call it, some call water, some call aqua, some call gel, some call pani, but not knowing that they're all meaning exactly the same thing. Every path ultimately leads to Atma Vichara only, either through an emotional path, or self-controlled path, or self-service path, or the path of knowledge. self-knowledge. But here, wonderful thing is, even when we say in the Karma Yoga, that Karma Yoga is meant to serve Shiva, looking at Shiva, seeing Shiva in every so-called non-Shiva, is really not serving anybody. It is going to help us to see Shiva within ourselves. I am Shiva. And that is called Atma Vichara. With this background, because so many marvelous points are there. With this background, let us go into this 8th verse. Shankaracharya put it, and nobody can perhaps put it better way. Kate kanta kaste putraha samsaraha ayam atiiva vichitraha kasyatvam kaha kuta ayataha tatvam chintaya tat iha bhrataha. Shankaracharya is addressing every one of his audience or readers as bhrataha. Why is he addressing? Because we are all children of immortal bliss, children of the same Divine Mother, and who should know about it other than Shankaracharya. Now, before I go further, I want to insert a very important point here. Shankaracharya supposed to be the propagator of Advaita Vedanta, and he has written Bhashyams, but people forget he was one of the greatest devotees of the Divine Mother, and he always compared himself, I am the least, I am the most helpless children of yours. So that is why he shouts out in the Bhavani Ashtakam that, O Mother, without you, I am a lost child. Gatistvam, 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 Bhavani. Tvameka Bhavani. My only refuge is you. And people, in fact, his own followers, misinterpret this. Oh, it is a concession to less qualified people. Nothing can be further from truth. The greater a person becomes a jnani, the greater a jnani, he becomes the greatest devotee, because he wants to enjoy his relationship with the Supreme Reality exactly in the same way. Here also there is a secret. When a person goes beyond the mind, and then that is called the one complete oneness with the Supreme Reality, Aham Brahmasmi, there is nobody, no second person to establish a relationship. But when the same person's mind comes into play, that means for some mysterious reason, he will be a Jivanmukta after that experience. That person can assume any type of relationship. I am you, I am your child, I am a madcap, I am your servant, etc., etc. Unable to understand, we go on misinterpreting lot of things. So here he is addressing every one of us, because he knows that I am Brahman. He knows we are also Brahman. He knows that we do not realize. For example, a baby prince. He knows, he doesn't even know I am a baby. He feels I am helpless. But he knows that my mother is there, my father is there. Any baby, whether it is princely or beggarly, they behave exactly the same way. They are always happy, so long as they are looked after well. Now, the most important thing for us to understand is this. A princely baby prince may not know that he is a prince, but everybody else knows, every grown-up person knows he is a prince. In course of time, he will realize. That is the tack, that is the angle through which every Jivanmukta looks at everybody. And this we have to practice. So we say, we are all children of God from the bhakti point of view, and I serve you as the children of the Divine Mother, Shiva Jnane Jiva Shiva, or I want to consider I am the Atman. Whatever way, the Atma Vichara is the ultimate thing. Here, specific questions have been put with regard not only to oneself, with regard to everything that we are related to. First of all, Kate Kanta, who is your wife? Kaste Putraha, who is your son? Samsara Ayam, Ativa Vichitraha. This samsara, this transmigratory life that we are leading is extraordinarily bewildering, amazing, surprising at every moment. This samsara vriksha, I will come to that later on. The Shankaracharya himself, who could describe the samsara? Because only the person who knows it thoroughly, he can describe it. And who can describe it? Only a person who knows it. And who knows better? Only a person who is not blinded, who is not attached, who can look at some object objectively, completely separate the person from himself without any biased opinions. And every Jivan Mukta, every Brahmagnani is such a type of person. So he knows everything about the very nature of samsara. And there also, most people get stuck only with the first part of the description, not at the end part of the description. This is what we have seen in the Bhagavad Gita. What do I mean? We have seen in the 15th chapter, Purushottama Yoga. What did we see? The root from which the samsara has come is Brahman itself. If the cause is Brahman, the effect also must be Brahman. Even we may not know, just as a baby prince doesn't know I am a prince, only when the baby grows up, it understands, it claims, and it behaves like a prince. So also when we grow up, meant not physically, merely, but also intellectually, aesthetically, and morally, of course spiritually, all these growths are very necessary. Then he understands, then he claims. He doesn't say, I was a tot. He says, I am a prince. And how many times he should think? Not even 100 times. How many times do you think, this is my mother, I am the child of my mother? In fact, we never think. We know it instinctively. That is how people will know about it. So, this samsara, ativa vichitraha, kasyatvam, and to whom do you belong? Kaha tvam, and who are you? Kuta ayataha, where from have you come? These are some of the questions. Tattvam, that is whatever I have indicated, that is the truth. Brataha, O my brother, tad iha chintaya, go on thinking. This is called spiritual practice. And all these questions will be answered very simply. We do not need to go on into details. God is our father, God is our mother, or divine mother if you like it. And then we are all children. Where from have you come? From the divine mother. Who are we? Children of the divine mother. Who are the other people? Children of the divine mother. Who is the divine mother? She is Parabrahman. She is never born, she is never undergoes any change, she is all pervading, she is infinite, and she is beyond time, space and causation. If she is our mother, if we are her offspring, we also must have exactly the same nature. So all these questions will be answered in one go. That is what is indicated in the Mahavakya, Sarvam Khalvidam Brahma. But we have to realize it. This is the hint Shankaracharya gives. Now, I will just read out the plain translation, which I have already translated. Kate Kanta, who is your wife? Kaha Tava Putraha, Te Putraha, who is your son? Samsara Ayam Ativa Vichitraha, strange are the ways of the world. Kasyatvam, of whom are you? To whom do you belong? Kaha, who are you? Kuta ayataha, from where? Kutaha means from where. From where have you come? Tatvam chintaya, he brataha, O my brother, tat iha chintaya. That go on pondering deeply on these truths. Now, we have to extend these questions, apply it to everybody. When you say Kate Kanta, that is, who is your wife? Who is your husband? Kaste Putraha, who are your children? That means, who are the parents? Who are your grandparents? And who are your grandchildren? Who are your friends? Who are your enemies? Who are all the people? Who are all the non-human beings? What are all these trees? What is the entire Jagat? So it is not meant only. So some people, male chauvinists we call it, and they, who is a chauvinist? That a male is superior to a female in every way. Some wag had made fun of it, that is a woman wag, and she said, "Oh man, do not be proud. Woman is greater than man." Because the letters M-A-N is already embodied in W-O-M-A-N or M-E-N, whatever it is. So, ponder over these truths. They say, what is the ultimate tatparya? That the whole universe consisting of humans, non-humans, living, non-living, and we have relationships, not only what we call positive relationships, but even negative relationships. All these, if you combine, then only the Atma-vichara will be complete, because you cannot exclude anything from this world, what you call the origin, the cause of this world. So that is what Shankaracharya gives as a brotherly advice for one's spiritual well-being. And so he addresses everybody, but his address is specifically directed only to a spiritual aspirant, not to a non-interested person. So the real quest of everybody, spiritual or worldly person, is to find out, who am I? And so I quoted in my last class, there is a beautiful song written by Girish Chandra Ghosh, Judai Te Chai, Kothai Judai. I also have translated it as we find it in the gospel. So this was a song Ramakrishna listened quite a number of times, and he used to go into samadhi, because this song is the very essence of the question as well as the answer. Ultimately, you know, Hey Chetan, whoever you are, O one who is completely awakened, awake me also, Uttishtata Jagrata Prapya Varan Nibodhata, approach the wise ones who know the truth, and you follow their instructions, you will also know what is what. So as Ramakrishna listened to the song, he went into samadhi. In fact, the whole gospel is an answer or an expansion of this particular, I would say, Mohamudgara, especially this particular thing. So Maya is unknowable. Sri Ramakrishna narrates the story of Narada, which we most of us know. Once Narada, who heard about the Vishnu Maya, Maya of Vishnu, and he thought, he never knew what was Maya, requested Bhagavan Krishna, "You show me." And then we saw it on several occasions, and he forgot. Several years have passed in 1 second, like several years pass in our life also. Everybody who is past 60, 70, 80 knows, "Hey, just I was a crawling baby, and now I find, oh, already I am 70 years old, 60 years old, 80 years old. How time passes." So, this is the question. These are the questions. How do we tackle these questions without misunderstanding these questions posed by Shankaracharya? We have to be careful. There are three angles of vision how we are going to tackle the answers to these questions. First is karmic, second is mayic, third is spiritual. Now, these are the three separate ways to deal with these angles. I will come to the quotations. Let me first explain. First, I will take the second one, mayic. Mayic means what? Here is a family man, and he has got parents, he has got children, maybe grandchildren, he has got wife, he has got brothers and sisters, etc. So, he will have tremendous attachment, and their health, their wealth, and their pleasures, and their sufferings become as if his sufferings. This is called mayic angle. And that is what Sri Ramakrishna was condemning. Whenever we say, he says, woman and gold. Now I am tired of using that, translating that one. So I simply substituted in this talk, instead of saying woman and gold, sex and money. And people understand better if I use the word, even though some of our orthodox people, they have hesitations about using the word sex, even though we all know. We should be very frank about it. So, sex and money. When you look at the world, what is it that binds us? Only sex and money. These are the major things. Of course, there are other things. I want power. I want name and fame. These are the other two. These are the four. But two are minor. Name and fame, power and position are really minor. What we want is ananda. Direct ananda. And from this mayic angle, what is mayic angle? An angle from the Maya's point of view. What does it mean? What do I mean? I mean that which makes us, or that which keeps us longer time in a state of suffering because of attachment, etc. That is what is called mayic angle. I cannot live without my parents. My parents cannot live without me. I cannot live without my wife and children, and they cannot live without me. I cannot live without my country, without my friends, and they cannot live without me. But we also have to add, I cannot live without my enemies. So we have to say, they also cannot live without me. You know, just imagine. This is a psychological point. Most people don't know. Supposing, everyone is your friend. Everybody is friendly. Now, you will have to exercise your imagination because there is no way anybody is going to make you understand how boring life will be if there is nobody to make you suffer. I will give you a suggestion to make it easier to understand. Suppose every day you are eating only sweet, you like sweet, you enjoy sweet, and every day, morning, evening, sweets coming. Do you know after 2-3 days what happens? You do not want to look at the face. You don't want to hear the very name of the sweet. When is it enjoyable? First of all, you should enjoy it occasionally. Secondly, you should enjoy the opposite of it. Other things, whether it is salty or full of chili, full of sour, tamarinds, etc. So many things you will have to understand it properly. Not only that, suppose you also have to eat bitter things. And when you eat a lot of bitter things for a long time, then you get a sweet. The happiness, the pleasure that gives is incomparable. So this fact, psychological fact, that friends are necessary, enemies are also necessary, happiness is also necessary, unhappiness is also necessary. Otherwise, you cannot recognize one without the other. And this is the deeper truth. Supposing you don't know what is bitter, and you don't know anything other than sweet. Everything is sweet. Would you know what is sweet? If there is no darkness, would you know what is light? If there are no evil people, would you know who is a good person? This is a profound truth. Tattvam chintaya tadiha bhrataha. I can only repeat Shankaracharya's words. These dualities are necessary. That is why it is called dvaita prapancha. And this dvaita prapancha stems, originates, is the effect of advaita. So, advaita is enjoyable only because of the dvaita. Dvaita is enjoyable because of advaita. I don't know how much teachers of philosophy agree with me that why God creates, why Brahman creates this world, Because he cannot enjoy what is Advaita, and unless he creates this samsara, he struggles and, ah, now I am so very happy. In Telugu, there is a beautiful saying, a person was sitting on the banks of a pond, which is a very muddy pond. He was absolutely neat and clean. Suddenly, a thought possessed him, and he jumped into the muddy pond, and until his knees, mud has plumed itself, and then he came out, found himself extremely uncomfortable and unhappy. So he procured a bucket and took out the water from there, sat on the edge of the bank and thoroughly washed his feet, went and sat where he was sitting before, said, ah, how happy now I am, how clean I am. Could he not have sat there? Then he would not have got this type of happiness at all. So, this is the mayic angle. What is a mayic angle? You get entangled, you suffer much. Is it beneficial? Absolutely. Without that, you will not be able to really have even a desire to get out of it. When do you feel you have to get out? Only when you feel that you are bound. So this mayic angle, and that is why avidya maya is a preparation, is what you call an inspiration for getting out of it through the help of the same maya, which is now called vidya maya. What is the difference? Previously, without any knowledge, out of ignorance, you got bound. Now you get bound only through full knowledge, full consciousness. I hope I am making some sense. What do I mean? When we were samsaris, we were bound thinking, these are my family members, this is my husband, this is my wife, these are my children, this is my property, etc. But now we relate everything to God. Everybody belongs to God. I also belong to God. And God is manifesting in all these things. Now the same attachment, but it is not a bondage, it is called love. Love always liberates, and attachment always binds us more. But both are necessary in samsara. This is a hard psychological fact. We will have to keep in mind and don't go on questioning, why did this stupid God create this maya? He could have created a marvelous, happy, always pleasant samsara. That is not possible. This is part of the God's leela. So this is the mayic level, and there are two levels are there. Avidya maya is that which makes us aware we have a destiny, we have a mission, we have a evolution, we have to evolve, we have to progress. That is the mayic level. Now, karmic level also. What do I mean? We are all, especially Hindus, Buddhists, Jains and Sikhs, they are all believers in the karma siddhanta. That is, we are what we are because of what we did, either in this life, but most often in the past lives. Not merely the last past birth, but many, many births. That is how we develop samskaras. Now, why are we born in this particular family, through this particular parents, and why do we come across these brothers, these sisters, why do we get these children, why do we get married? According to theory of karma, nothing is accidental and it just happened. Everything happens because we have done some karma. It could be punya karma or papa karma, it must get exhausted. We come together, we exhaust each other's papa and punya, and that is how one way of progressing. And once we have exhausted our karma, then we also at the same time get a new opportunity to go forward, to move forward, and that is how everybody progresses. And then a time will come when we came together, a time will come when we separate together, and we start, all of us start, in an absolutely new type of life where accepting the samskaras, we do not remember who are our parents, who are our wives, husbands, children, and experiences that we did in the past, nor is it necessary really. It is enough to study our samskaras, and if they are good, strengthen them. If they are not, then weaken them. That is called yoga sadhana. There is no other way. This is karma. So every situation is good. As I am very fond of saying, every event that happens is specifically tailor-made for our own measurement, so that suits. So a tailor comes and measures a baby's body and he stitches cloths which are suitable for the baby. But when the same baby grows, a new type of dress is necessary. So also every situation, every karmic situation is tailor-made for us. What is the purpose? So that we can reduce our evil samskaras, which are called non-spiritual samskaras, and move forward to spiritual samskaras. Ultimately, these are the only two samskaras. Move slowly away from worldly samskaras towards spiritual samskaras until we transcend every samskara and become one with God. This is the karmic level. Then spiritual relationship. We have to learn a lot of lessons. Maybe in the other person, there is some extraordinarily great quality which I do not have. So each one of us, we have how to love them, how to serve them, how to at the same time not to be attached. All these great lessons can be learned with our friends, with our enemies, with our family members, but with a spiritual view. That is what Sri Ramakrishna had summarized. Shiva Gnane Jiva Shiva. And that is what is commandment from the Taittiriya Upanishad. Matru Devo Bhava. Let your mother be God. Let your father will be God. Let your Acharya be God. That means who is an Acharya? From whomsoever we learn a lesson, he is an Acharya. And let us also afterwards Atidhi. Atidhi means, usually it is interpreted as a person who comes to our houses without any information, because in the past it was not possible to inform. So Tithi means a particular known time. Atithi means that nobody can predict any time, even at midnight also one can come. I am remembering a story. Once a devotee had felt a terrible longing to see Nagamahashaya. And then you know Nagamahashaya was living in East Bengal, which is full of rivers, and he had to swim. A river was in high tide because it may be rainy season, and it was almost midnight and there was no boat available. But the longing of the devotee was so much that he plunged with his bundle of whatever he was carrying on his head. Probably the river was not too high. Somehow he swam to the other side. At midnight, he reached Nagamahashaya's house, and then he saw Nagamahashaya with a tremendous anxiety. He was sitting outside waiting for this devotee to arrive. The devotee was surprised. As soon as Nagamahashaya saw this man, he started to scold him lovingly. Said, "My child, what are you doing? Why did you not come in the daytime? You know there are so many snakes. Poisonous things will be there. You could have even encountered death." But you know, Nagamahashaya was praying. But who will heed these words of Nagamahashaya? The devotees were so happy. And what can Nagamahashaya do? He was like a loving mother. Whatever the child does, he has so immediately arranged for his food, for his rest, etc. So everything in this world has got a good purpose. But this spiritual angle we have to develop and say, it is our very attachments, it is an intensity of our desire, which will ultimately be honed, made razor sharp, and then it will be ultimately directed towards God. That is why attachment for husbands, wives, children, money from the mayic vision appears to be that which is restraining us, binding us. But from the spiritual level, God created all these things so that don't stop, just love 10%, love 20%, no, love 100%, everything. Be terribly attached. At the beginning, this attachment is truly a bond. But then one realizes when a person develops deep attachment, the object of the attachment will not be able to withstand it, and then that object falls away, giving rise to only one who can withstand the onslaught of tremendous attachment of anybody, and that is only God. That is why Swami Vivekananda's words are so precious. So, all the great lovers, romantic lovers that we know, all these people, he used to appreciate highly and said, if at all anybody progresses in spiritual life, like Romeo, Juliet, Laila, Majnu, etc., because they are, even death is nothing for them if they can be together. Now, what do you think will happen in the next step? Like Tulasidasa, who was so much attached to his wife, like Ratnakara, who was attached to his family, like Bilva Mangala, who loved a public woman. Ultimately, though it is so strange, God's Leela, those very people, they got disgusted with their lovers, and from their mouths came Mahavakyas. If you can only direct 1/100th of this love, which you possess towards this filthy external appearances, you would have attained moksha long back. And at that right moment, what is the right moment? When their love has coalesced, condensed, concentrated, and became 100%, then the words of God will come through the mouth of those very objects, and those very objects become God to awaken us. Such a marvelous truth, we have to understand it. So, these are the three ways how to answer these questions. Kate ekanta, kaste putraha, samsaro ayam, ativa vichitraha, kasyatvam kaha, kuta ayataha, tatvam chintaya, tadiha brataha. So, karmic angle, we cannot avoid. We cannot avoid because it is our own doing. And we will have to get out of it, and this is the marvelous opportunity. Mayic angle, you develop as much attachment as possible. You may be the worst worldly person. In fact, it is wrong to use the word worst worldly person. The worst worldly person has the greatest chance to turn spiritual rather than a fellow who is so superficial, he can't love anything. He is too lazy and too weak to develop anything. So this is the mayic angle. Spiritual angle, every event in this world ultimately is tailor-made for us to turn spiritual. With these three spiritual visions, let us now deal with these things. Oh, Sri Ramakrishna is telling about wife and children, and especially on I and mine. This is what we call mayic level. Sri Ramakrishna says, I said to Keshav, before I proceed further, I want to tell again and again. Whenever I come across these ideas, I search for what did Sri Ramakrishna say, what did Holy Mother say, and what did Swami Vivekananda say, what did the direct disciples say, what did the later on other saints and sages said. And before I go further also, that there is a book, small book. This is called Enquiry Atma Vichara, and this is the favorite methodology of Ramana Maharshi. Who are you? For every problem, for any situation, this is the one which will solve all problems. And the essence of this 8th verse is, who am I? If you know who you are, you will know who are your parents, you will know who are your wives, your children, your children, your husbands, your friends, your enemies, your everybody, the entire world. That is why a person who knows, first, Aham Brahmasmi, I am Brahman. There afterwards, everybody is Brahman. This is the secret. Now, Sri Ramakrishna, he is reminiscing, I culled it from the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna. I said to Keshav that I and mine indicate ignorance. Without ignorance, one cannot have such feeling as I am the doer. These are my wives, children, possessions, name and fame. Thereupon, Keshav said, Sir, if one gave up the I, nothing whatsoever would remain. Naturally, this question comes that the destruction of the I, if you do that, nothing remains. I suspect Buddhist Sunyavada, this is the misunderstanding that they have. So they twist some of the Buddhists, especially some school who turned Buddha's sacred Upanishadic words into meaningless babble. They thought that nothing remains. Everything is what they used to call anatma. They don't use Sanskrit word. They say anatta. Atta means atma. In Bengali also we say atta. It is atma. No atma means no reality. No, aham brahmasmi. Everything is unreal. What was the Buddha talking about? Because he used those words, he was talking about maya. He's talking about what Sri Ramakrishna calls I and mine. That such a thing is wrong concept. Then what was Buddha telling? Some people took it for granted. If I and mine is removed, nothing remains, which is called Shunyavada. If anatma, everything is anatma, there is no atma. But then they forget, when these limitations are removed, what remains is the unlimited. When finiteness is completely destroyed, and that is what is called, what we call I and mine, then the infinite alone remains. This is what is said. There are so many marvelous related ideas. And Yajnavalkya taught that to Maitreyi, she understood that if everything is unreal, you confused me here. Nothing, no reality remains. He said, no, my dear, I did not teach that. I taught that all unrealities are totally dependent upon reality. That is, if you are mistaking, here is a snake. That mistake called snake will not be there if there were to be no rope. So the moment you come to know there is no snake, it is not that the rope will disappear, but the rope alone will be there. And in this example, the rope is Brahman, the world is the snake. That is how we have to understand. So hearing my words, Keshav Sen said, Sir, if one gave up the I, nothing whatsoever would remain. What he really means, you know, if I follow your this thing, then my name as Keshav Chandra Sen, my fame as Keshav Chandra Sen, my followers who worship me as the highest, like Krishna, etc. There are several references are there. All these will disappear. Then I will be a very unhappy person. Sri Ramakrishna had to break, because whoever comes to light, darkness cannot remain. So Keshav Sen said, if one gave up the anatta, nothing whatsoever would remain. Shunyatvam will be there like Buddhists. Sri Ramakrishna is continuing. I reassured him and said, I am not asking you to give up all of the I. You should give up only the unripe I. The unripe I makes one feel, I am the doer. These are my wife and children. I am a teacher. Sri Ramakrishna was terribly intelligent. So supposing a servant asks this question instead of Keshav Chandra Sen, he would have said, I am a servant. But here Keshav Chandra Sen was full of that idea. I am a teacher. I am a speaker. Everyone is an audience. Everybody is a listener. So Ramakrishna, he nailed just on the head. So renounce this unripe I, but keep the ripe I, which will make you feel. What does it make you feel? That you are the servant of God, you are his devotee, and God is the doer, and you are his instrument. with one stroke, Keshav Chandrasen can keep all everything that he cherished, and at the same time, he can feel that everything is God. So, this is what Sri Ramakrishna's advice. Even this advice will take several Advaitic works for me to explain, but you know that I don't want to stretch further. Now let us come a little bit about mayic level, which I introduced earlier. Sri Ramakrishna says, do you know what maya is? It is attachment to relatives, parents, brothers and sisters, wives and children, nephews and nieces. Master, looking at him, one can realize God if one feels intense dispassion for worldly things. A man with such a dispassion feels that the world is like a forest on fire. He regards his wife and children as a deep well. If he really feels that kind of dispassion, he renounces home and family. It is not enough for him to live in the world in a spirit of detachment. And then Sri Ramakrishna comes to the crux of the entire so-called world. Says, sex and money alone is maya. If maya is once recognized, it feels ashamed of itself and takes to flight. A man put on a tiger skin and tried to frighten another man. But the latter said, ah, I have recognized you. You are our Hari. At that, the man dressed in the skin went away smiling to frighten someone else. What is maya? In this classic example, here is a snake. That is the maya. What is maya? There is no snake. But we think that there is a snake. Even this word maya, as I explained several times, has a wonderful meaning. Ma, ya, ya, ma. That which is not. That is called maya. Ya, that which. Ma, not there. That is, the snake was not there. But it is a mistake to think there is nothing. There is a rope, and rope alone is the reality. Here it is an example. So Brahman is the pure existence. That existence is there. Upon that existence, we are imagining entire world, all the objects, living, non-living, and humans, animals, birds, plants, insects, everything else. So, this is from the mayic angle, but it also helps. When once we realize this is a mayic angle, through maya, maya will fly away from a spiritual angle. Now, Sri Ramakrishna is dealing with a spiritual angle. All men and women are the embodiments of Shakti. Now, remember, when Sri Ramakrishna uses the word Shakti, he means Brahman, Divine Mother. All men and women are the embodiments of Shakti. It is the primal power that has become woman and appears to us in the form of woman. It is said in the Adhyatma Ramayana that Narada and others praised Rama saying, O Rama, thou alone art all that we see as male, and Sita all that we see as female. Thou art Indra and Sita is Indrani. Thou art Shiva and Sita is Shivani. Thou art man and Sita is the woman. What a marvelous truth which we have been talking earlier, that it is the Shiva-Shakti harmony. That is why where Shiva, there would be Shakti. Shiva cannot exist without Shakti. Shakti cannot exist without Shiva. Brahman and Shakti are one and the same. When activities are done, I call it Brahman. When there are no activities, I call it Brahman. When there are activities, I call it Shakti. But they are one and the same. He also gives an illustration. When a snake is still, that is still a snake. When it wriggles also, it is a snake. When it is still, it is comparable to Brahman. When it is wriggles, it is compared to Shakti. What is Shakti? Activity. What activities? Srishti, Sthiti and Laya. Then Sri Ramakrishna continues, what more need I say? Thou alone dost exist. Wherever there is a male and Sita, wherever there is a female. Now, with this passage, we have to construe everything about when Sri Ramakrishna says women. He doesn't say to demean them. He means men, women, and everything. When he says sex, that's why I substituted the word sex deliberately. That means man is attracted as a limited body to woman. Similarly, vice versa. So we are attracted to money, and money is attracted to us, and we are bound for some time, but only for some time, because ultimately everything will release us. Everything is meant. God is pulling us through these strings. It is not perhaps an apt illustration, but I will give you. A man wants to catch a fish. What does he do? He will put one hook, and then he will dangle one small bit of tasty morsel, maybe an earthworm, maybe a smaller fish, whatever it is. And in the hope of enjoying a delicious dish, the bigger fish will come and swallow. And when they swallow, the hook also will be catching their throat and it will be pulled. If we understand this illustration properly and this simile properly, metaphor properly, it means God dangles this hook, what we call sex and money, as baits. And then we swallow. Yes, there will be suffering. But that very suffering will make us uttishtata, jagrata, prapyavaran, nibodhata. It may take some time. Just as a fish, some fish fight for a long time. And then the expert fisherman, he releases the string. And sometimes the fish can be caught, bigger fish can be caught only after hours of struggle. But ultimately, it will be pulled in and it will be butchered. Like that, we are all, that means our bodies, our minds, our maya, our attachments, everything will be butchered. This is one way of playing srishti, sthiti, and vinasha. A little bit harsh, but you will have to understand what I am trying to tell you. So there is a story also, and I leave it to you because I think most of you know about it. This is this story, that there was a disciple and the teacher asked him to renounce the world. But he said, and my wife, my children, my mother, they all love me. How can I be so heartless to give them up? Then teacher said, I will show their real nature. You take this medicine tomorrow morning, you will appear to be unconscious, but inside you are fully conscious. You will hear, you will see everything, but they think you are dead. At that time, I will come see the drama. Next morning, the disciple swallowed the medicine. After a few minutes, he appeared to be dead. Everybody started weeping their hearts out. Suddenly, this guru came in the form of a physician, and he examined the patient. And he said, oh, do not worry. There is a marvelous medicine. I can bring him back to life. Everybody was, of course, in ecstasy. Please do that, sir. We'll be eternally grateful. Is it not what Sri Ramakrishna said? I am adding that masala to this. Now, he said, here is the medicine. But there is a condition. What is the condition, sir? First, one of you have to take the medicine. And then the person who takes the medicine will be dead, but your son will come. He turned to the old woman and said, oh, you have lived long enough, and now it is time for you anyway. You are 1 foot in the grave. You take this medicine because you love your son. And she took the medicine in her hand and started thinking. And after a lot of time, he said, look, I cannot take this medicine. Why? Because my daughter-in-law is young, she has got other children, and she cannot look after them. She doesn't know how to bring them up. Without me, it is not possible. Anyway, the man who is gone is gone, so I am not going to take. Same thing, the wife also said, I have other children to look after. So anyway, it is his fate, his karma, the time has come, he has to go. So all philosophy, marvelous philosophy we are discussing, comes at this point of time, when it is to save their own necks. Okay, so ultimately the disciple understood everything. Nobody truly loves, nobody is ready to sacrifice. Love means sacrifice. That is the truth about it. And he understood, immediately jumped up and said, "Sir, lead the way, I am going to follow you." This is the famous story. Anyway, we have to ponder over it. And then, so Master is telling to him, please tell them that story of the disciple who became unconscious after taking the medicine. So this is what has happened also. So Sri Ramakrishna was telling, please tell the other one too, of the Hatha Yogi who thought that his wife and children were his very own and who feigned death with his limbs stretched out. It will do them good to hear those stories. It is though, Sri Ramakrishna himself said, it will do them good to hear those stories. So I am repeating them. What is this other story? There was a Hatha Yogi. He can twist his body into various angles. And one day, he was found dead. Not really dead, like dead, but unconscious. Then the mother and wife started weeping, their hearts out. And then what happened? Their house is a small house. The door is very small door. And as the yogi's limbs were completely awry, that means at all angles they were stretched out, in that position, it is impossible for the body to come out. Then ultimately, somebody came and said, we have to break the door of your house. This is the only way to take out your husband's body. Then she got so angry and said, how heartless you, how cruel you are. This is the only house this miserly fellow has left us out. Again, my masala. So, I'm not going, you cut his limbs. That is the easiest. Anyway, he is dead. He is not going to feel. Hearing this, the Hatha Yogi, he relaxed, came back to life, jumped up, followed the teacher. Anyway, these are extreme stories. But what we need to understand is, nobody truly loves us. And remember what Yajnavalkya has given this teaching to Maitreyi. Oh, my dear, no wife loves her husband and no husband also loves. Everybody loves themselves. Everybody loves only their Atman ultimately. And that is how we have to understand this one. Then M asks, how ought we live in this world? This we will discuss in our next class. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Murmuho. May Ramakrishna, Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.